if somebody's going by, can come in.
Yeah.
Good, good.
This is just vegetable.
Good.
And you eject me? I'm gonna get ejected. No, good. Yeah, I'm all right. I'm pretty good. Well, no.
I'm scared of soup.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we got a little snow.
Is that just soup beef?
Snow lights and bad.
So we're going.
The potatoes is my dad. Yeah.
Now we got a little bit of lunch.
That's a good thing.
I just wanna think of it real quick.
That's one of my favorites, lobster business.
They're going to clean on Fridays instead of Thursday, I wonder if they change to Thursday for them? Do you know how? Okay. I didn't know we did it before.
We'll take a look at it.
Okay. They didn't ask to have it changed, but I thought it'd be nice to do it.
Well, they kind of brought it up when they did it.
But it won't be warm by the.
And it runs for so many hours anyway.
Yeah, it does. When they go back to the original.
No, it just runs for about 3 hours, then it shuts itself back off.
Oh.
Play around.
No, here, pretty real sick.
I said, no, it's a good idea.
Where's your wife at work?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of good. That's why she has a check.
Yeah, she got that.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
The first song that we will sing this evening is one not found in our hymnals. That song titled, Blessed Be the Name. Again, this song is not found in our hymnals.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, the glories of my God and King. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Jesus, the name that calms my fears. Blessed be the name of the Lord, 'tis music in the sinner's ears. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. He breaks the power of canceled sin, blessed be the name of the Lord. His blood can make the foulest clean, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. I never shall forget that day. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Jesus washed my sins away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
The song that we will sing before we're led in our opening prayer this evening, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. This is song 122 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals this evening. Dear Lord and Father of Mankind, song 122.
Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Recall the sin, our rightful mind. In pure lives thy service find. In deeper reverence praise. In simple trust like theirs, beside the Syrian sea, the gracious calling of the Lord, let us like them without a word rise up and follow thee. O Sabbath rest by Galilee, O calm of hills above, where Jesus now to share with thee the silence of eternity, interpreted by love. Drop thy still dews of quietness till all our striving cease. Take from our souls the strain and stress, and let our ordered lives confess the beauty of thy peace.
Let us pray. This evening, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you once again, thanking you for the blessing of this day, letting us go about our work day and just return here and come out and study another part of your word. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are sick throughout the land, those in hospital and different other various places. Lord, especially want to pray for those of the household of faith. Praying, Lord, be your will, go by, touch them, heal them where they need healing, build them up where they're torn down, strengthen them where they're weak. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are mentioned on our prayer list. Lord, we're just praying that you'll stop by, touch each one, Lord, that they may be drawn back to their most wanted help. Again, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray for all those that are traveling. Lord, we're just praying, Lord, that you give them all traveling grace to and from their destination, if it be thy will. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to pray for our leaders, our country, praying, Lord, that they're ruling such a way that we can always have that free will to worship you in spirit and in truth. And again, Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to just pray for all those, Lord, that's overseas, just fighting in wars and rumors of wars and just causing chaos and just confusion all over the world. Lord, just praying that peace might prevail throughout the land. Again, Father, Lord, I want to pray for Brother Doug, Lord, as he bring a lesson to us. Praying, Lord, that we are just, that he'll bring it in such a way that we can all get our part, Lord, and take it to others, Lord, that they may know that you is a true and living God. Again, Father, thank you so much for your son, Jesus, came and died for us all, and through his death, that we all might have that right to a true life. For it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, Mansion Over the Hilltop. This is song 829 for all who are following along in our hymnals. Song 829, Mansion Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just a Cosby loaf, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion never grow old. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Though often tempted, tormented and tested, and like a prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling, I know he'll give me a mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Don't thank me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a robe and a crown. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder, we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, that song that we'll sing after our lesson is number 401. Live for Jesus is the title of that hymn. Live for Jesus, song 401. That's an encouragement hymn that we'll sing after this evening's lesson. Once you have that song marked, the song before our lesson, He is Able to Deliver Thee. This is song 208. He is Able to Deliver Thee, song number 208.
Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue. Tis the grandest theme that the world has sung, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme in the earth or may, tis the grandest theme for a mortal strength. Tis the grandest theme, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest, our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest theme, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee.
Anyone not have? I think Odell, maybe you may be the only one that do not have the sheet for tonight, the newest sheet, I should say. Anyone else? Okay. We're not going to start with this sheet, but hopefully we'll get to it. You should have two sheets. Does anyone need sheets? Stacy, I know you said you.
I'll give it back to you afterwards.
It's okay. I think we have plenty.
I have them out.
I know. I understand. Well, anyone else? Okay. Well, if you find the one that says Timothy on it, 1 Timothy, where it says qualification of elders, that's where we're starting tonight. Not from the beginning, but partway down on that sheet. We had started in verse 4, and we talked about this some, but let's talk about it. We'll go from there and pick up. Let's read verses 4 and 5. And I'm going to read out of the column that is a New King James Version. One who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? And as we look at this passage, there's some things here. And you noticed that I had highlighted some of the other words, but I decided not to continue to do that. But we can try to let you know where we're at as far as that's concerned. We talked about, we'd already talked about the husband of one wife. And so we're talking about he who rules his own house well. You notice that in the New American Standard it says manages his own household well. And basically the same thing in the NIV, he must manage his own house, family well. And so when we think about this, is that we have to realize, what is he talking about? He's talking about his family at home, right? So he's talking about how he would manage his own family at home. And how you would take care of that family. I think the thing is that some of these things that we try not to overthink them, but rather than try to much as we can to take them as they talk about it here. Of course, we know that in the New King James talk about his own house well. We know he's not talking about his physical house, that it makes sure his roof doesn't leak and such. He's talking about the people in his home that live with him. And that he should take care of them, having his children in submission with all reverence. I have a question as we think about this for a minute. Georgia, how many children do you have?
Three.
Stacy, how many children do you have?
One.
One. James McMillan, how many children do you have? Two. So if I'm saying children, what am I saying? Is Stacy right in answering the question that she has one? Okay. Now, the root word here, and I think it's actually on one of the other sheet. If you want to go to look at the one under Titus. I'm sorry I'm bouncing around because sometimes we have the... I put it someplace, I'm sorry. It gets confusing when I try to run all the sheets together. The word here, anyway, comes from the root word. Maybe you can find it on my sheet. I'm not looking for it myself. I know I put it down. Okay. The word children, comes from the root word child. Just like we would say a Christian comes from the root word of what? Christ, right? And so on. And so he's talking about the kids, children that you have at home. And the word there it is, on the back side, on the back side of the Titus page. Children in the second column on the back. Children comes from the base or the root word of child as produced. Child, daughter, son. That's what the root word is. And so when we say a children, and I apologize here that I don't know the plurals of the Greek. It doesn't say in the lexicon that I have whether, you know, he's talking about the Greek word there, technon, whether that's plural or singular. So I'm guessing that it is probably plural since it comes from the word child, a child. You have your children at home. How do you take care of them, right? Are they behaving? Your whole household, your husband, your wife, your child, or children, more than one, they work together, right? You function together. Are you watching over them? How are you raising them? Why? Why do we need to know how they're raising their children? What's verse 5 say back in Titus? James. What? Right, so they know how to take care of the church. So if you can't manage your own children at home, you won't be able to manage the church. The children should be in submission with all reverence, or children under control with all dignity, as it says in New American, and that children obey him with proper respect. And so what we're seeing here is that how does he raise his children? How is he going to take care of the church of God? And that's the important part. Now, it's important he has good children, you know, does a good job with his children, but that shows that he could be a good manager of the church as well. Comments? Questions?
We're talking about kids that live at home.
At home? That's what he's talking about, those that are at house when you're raising your kids. Mm-hmm. I think one thing that we need to notice also, though, is that if you have your Titus sheet, and we're going to jump around some just because of the necessity of a little bit difference. In verse 6 on Titus 1:6, is if a man is blameless, a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. It talks about faithful children there. And the New American says children who believe. And New International says children who believe. Last week I gave the thought about the idea of someone could believe and not be Christians yet. But the word faithful here, nearly all the references that we have, and your new sheet that I gave you on the word faithful, look, it's about the middle of the first column, Titus 1:6. Faithful children, nearly all the time faithful is used in the New Testament in referring to either Christians or God. Faithful children of God, or God is faithful to us. And so the indication probably is when he's talking about the people, that he's talking about Christians. But I think when it's talking, it's not clear. Pistos is the word that is used, and that means faith. It comes from the root word of faith. But it also could be believe or believers. Generally, you believe and disciples is one of the same thing, but believers, when it talks about believers, and it's only used 5 times in the New American Standard, only once in the New King James Version, the word believer, would indicate those that are Christians. It's not specific, but that's the indication that we would have, that I have found anyway as I've studied this. Okay, let's go back to Timothy again, if you would, with me, please. Once we get to the last part of this section of study, there's no big words that we'd want to check out, particularly that I would find. It seems pretty self-explanatory. It's something that we can understand. In verse 6, and I'm going to read all 3 translations, not a novice, lest being puffed up and pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil.
the new American, and not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And the NIV, he must not be recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall into the same judgment as the devil. Okay, let's talk about this. Not a novice or not a new Christian. Why would that be important?
If you're a new Christian, you could be persuaded the wrong way, because then the other two says something about being under the same judgment as the devil.
That's so, right.
Say, for instance, you have new individuals come in that want to cause an uproar in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And if they did, someone that's not grounded in the faith, for one thing, and number two, someone that's a novice, they wouldn't really know what the scriptures say well enough to rebuke them.
And I think what, as we get into the study of, and that's part of the thing that's going to take place, is to watch out for those that are causing dissension, would cause dissension in the church. We see this as we follow down through, specifically in Titus, after when it's talking about the eldership, and also in 1 Peter chapter 5.
This is also someone that's maybe just recently become a Christian, so they still have a lot to learn. Don't get me wrong, we all have a lot to learn. But as you've been a Christian longer, you have learned more.
Right. And remember one of the things that talked about earlier, he must be a teacher, you know, able to teach, or apt to teach, as we talked about from the King James Version, is that he has the ability to do so. And one of the things that's going to be necessary as an elder is to watch out for false teaching or false doctrine coming into the church.
And two, for a new convert and an older person that come out of the denomination.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful. He may be good in all the areas, but the problem is he come out of the denomination. So he's still got some of that in him, and he got to understand and learn the Church of Christ, you know, the
right.
The Bible. They say they have a Bible, but you know.
Well, I think as we think back to the time, is that, of course, where are the first converts coming from? Judaism, right? And a lot of those people were well grounded, or well knew the old law and such, but they didn't know Christ's new way.
And they wanted to bring a lot of the old ways into
sure.
the church.
They did, yeah.
And which is not acceptable, because as we've learned in Acts, I mean, that's all been done away with. And I know they did some things that we've been talking about in Acts, but it was just to appease the people so there wouldn't be an uproar. It doesn't necessarily mean, and because they made it very plain, it was unnecessary, but they did it so the people would listen to those individuals. One of them is like we talked about Sunday with Timothy.
Mm-hmm.
A novice could be easily persuaded one way or another.
That's true.
Easily persuaded.
Well, and I think about the Gentiles that came into the church too. They had a lot of beliefs or feelings about, for example, foods to eat, and not you couldn't eat this food or that food, or you know, they still think about the idols that were sacrificed to, even though they realized probably that Jesus is, or God was the only God, but still there's so many things that, just think about people that come in out of the world that maybe not been into any denomination or any church. They're bringing the only thing they know is what was the worldly ways. And so all these things that they need to be taught, and the elders are to be those that are upstanding and teaching the word of God. And it talks about pride. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation. And I think the thing is that one of the things that, especially Peter talks about, is that it should not be about, if I'm talking about as an elder, it should not be about me as an elder. It should not be about the elder. It should be about what they're doing. They're, like Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. And that it's not about pride. And pride goes, what, before a fall, right? And so we need to watch out for that, because pride can be, and definitely, I think the idea here, that I see it anyway, is that one of the things that got Satan in trouble in heaven was that he thought he was better than anybody else. I mean, it doesn't say that exactly, but you know, because of he wanted authority and power, God kicked him out. God kicked him out of heaven. And so we see that pride, and I think that's as the devil. I think the same condemnation as the devil. What is the condemnation of the devil?
Eternal torment.
Eternal torment, yep. And we don't want that for anyone, but especially for our leaders, right?
Doug, there's a saying that, you know, the more you, and I'm going to paraphrase it, obviously I don't know how it goes exactly, but the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And that is probably true here with this passage. You know, when I was younger in life, as most teenagers are, I thought I knew more than perhaps I did.
Me too.
I think a lot do.
Yeah.
And then as you start to learn more about life, you realize, well, I didn't have it all figured out perhaps. And that's kind of what it's saying here, it appears, you know, that is a person that a novice is someone that is very knowledgeable about perhaps the details of the Word of God, and for that person to presume that they know more than they actually know is going to lead to a prideful situation, and you know, probably what's included in that.
I would think so. Yep. Then let's read verse 7. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach of the same reproach and snare of the devil. New American, he must be a good reputation with those outside the church so that he may not fall into reproach in the snare. And NIV, he must also have a good reputation with outsiders so they not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So it's all three of them say about the same thing. It's important to have a good reputation outside of the church. You don't want people to think, oh, he's a scoundrel. How did he ever get to be an elder? How could they pick someone like that? Of course, not everyone ever is going to think good of us. You know, no matter what we do or how we do it, not everyone is going to think good of us. Did everyone think good of Jesus? No, they didn't. That's why they crucified him. They wouldn't accept the things that he was doing, the things that he was saying. But the idea is to have a good reputation. And I think that's, he doesn't steal, he doesn't cheat, and so on. Doesn't swear. He looks good, like a good person. He is a good person to people, not just in the church, but outside the church as well. Any other comments on those on that verse? So let's switch over to Titus. And we've covered, again, we've already covered some of these things as well. And so I don't think it'll take us as long to go through Titus as we did here, but I think it's important that we look at Titus just the same. Verse 5 in the New King James. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city, as I commanded you. And I think the others are about the same. Appointed elders in every city as I directed you. Okay. So he is telling Titus to appoint elders in every city. But it's not just a matter of random saying, okay, you're it. But he gives them qualifications again on what he should look for in this man, or in these men. And notice one thing we haven't talked about before, but it's elders. It's not elder. Appoint elders in every city. It should be plural. It should be more than one. Some say it should be three, so they can make a, you know, in case there's a tie and some idea, but I mean, that's not what the scriptures say, but I mean, I've heard people say that. I've known several congregations that have had just two elders, and they seem to have done well in that situation. Okay, verse 6. Yes, yes.
I've heard some controversy perhaps with regard to this,
okay,
this verse as to who is charged with that,
oh,
appointment authority. Paul gave that authority specifically to Titus, who was a preacher of the word, right? So, know of at least one individual that presumed that the preacher had the authority of this appointment.
Uh-huh.
And, I don't know if that command was just one given to Titus, or if Paul gave that same command to other preachers elsewhere. We don't have any evidence of that, obviously, in Scripture.
Okay. I moved to shortly my second place where I ministered out of college. I moved to a town that had a congregation of maybe 70, 75 people. And one of the first things after I started, not coming, telling me it was going to happen, is that it's your job to appoint elders. And then the two men I was talking to, he says, that they said, and that's us. And we went through the process of looking at what we're doing today. But you talk about a hard situation, a hard place to go into, and to try to figure that out. They were appointed, not just because of me, but they had already decided that they were going to be the elders of the congregation. One man was a very heavy smoker, and I didn't see that as being I told him, I don't think you're qualified because you don't have a good reputation outside the congregation because of your smoking. Well, I didn't sit very well. And I was young, so I put my foot in my mouth more than once, I'm sure. I don't think we see this being done. We would say that's an example, right? But personally, I don't see that at any time, even though I've been here almost 2 years now, that I don't have that authority to do so. I think that has to be something that's done basically by the congregation, or the men of the congregation, if you will, but with the input of the women, of course. I don't know. I would say that that's not, I don't know. I can't say that I could do that as an evangelist, a preacher. Well, Jamie, you want to say something?
The problem that I see there have with that is the thing that I do with a lot of things. We say we're going to put this in front of the congregation. And at that point in time, you're putting it in front of a lot of people that does not know the qualifications, that doesn't understand what an elder's job is, what they're to be. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And I understand why he probably told Titus to do that, because he was the one that knew who was and who wasn't qualified.
He did, but he's going in Crete. Remember, Crete was where Paul and Barnabas first went, where they, it was a very worldly place. When he talks about that later, about these Cretans, what kind of personalities they have and character and such. And if he was living there, at that time and preaching just from Crete, I left you in Crete that you should set these things in order. And it's not like he had been there possibly for a long time. He says, you go to Crete. I'm going to leave you here so you can appoint elders. I believe that it was God-given and God-directed the men that he should appoint. Does that not make sense? I mean, sure, God directs us, but he doesn't give me the wisdom to say, as a minister, as a preacher, to say, I have God-given ability to tell me that you're qualified and you're not. Right? Yes, Georgia?
Studying it right now.
That's right.
follow God's laws, then we ought to be able to figure out something, or figure out we can, we don't have people qualified. We ought to figure it out.
That's right. James? What?
Explain to everybody who Titus is.
Who is Titus?
Yeah, who, now who is it? He's a, I mean, we know he wrote this book, but was he...
No, it's written to him.
Right, okay, I mean to him. But Paul assigned him to do this.
That's right.
Paul had given him, we're going to call it the authority. The church was young. Titus had to have more ability than just going there and appointing somebody or making sure there is. He had insight with Paul. And what I'm going with this is that when the church is young as it was then, I don't think at that time they had enough ability to know who to appoint. There wasn't the written word at that particular time. Right?
Well, this letter was probably the first written word that they had.
I know, but I mean, the whole Bible hadn't...
No, no, no. The whole Bible wasn't together
Wasn't together, and so no. My point is, somebody that knew what was supposed to be done needed to do it. We're studying what to do.
Yeah, we're studying what Paul told him to do.
That has been left.
Right.
And so my point is that at that time, it was a good idea for Titus to do so. Titus isn't here.
Really?
He's left his written word.
Oh, okay.
Or the letter to him.
Right.
And so my point is that gives us a good example in our ability to read the scriptures and understand them. We have that today. You see what I'm saying? So even though he was a preacher or he was this, at that time was different than this time. That's all I'm saying. Because the word wasn't fully written and people were still trying to be converted from Judaism.
Right. James Miller, let me come back to you. What's your thoughts? You brought it up.
Well, this letter and the letter to Timothy were written about the same time.
About, probably, yeah.
Pretty close. So I mean, the congregation, like James was saying, wouldn't have known the qualification of the elders to appoint elders. The Holy Spirit had to be involved in at least that initial
exactly.
process.
Definitely.
And I think that the character of a person should be known by the congregation.
Well, that's true.
If I move into town and I'm appointed as an elder the second day because I say I fit all the qualifications, then I can see that being a real problem in the Lord's church. I think someone who is known by the congregation, whose reputation is known by the congregation, who has seen their life and seen whether or not they fit these, is certainly more suited to being appointed in a general manner by the congregation and not so much needed by the preacher. Obviously, I don't think that precedent should carry. I think it was a first century, maybe even a one-time only practice. I don't know.
Well, think about it this way. He didn't just tell Timothy and Titus, go appoint elders.
Mm-hmm.
He gave them guidelines on what to do to look for men that would be qualified to be the elders that God wanted them to and that Paul was instructing Timothy and Titus to do as they helped this along, this process along.
Timothy doesn't tell Timothy to appoint elders.
No, it doesn't.
Only in this letter does
right,
that,
just here.
That language says it.
Okay. So as we go on, and we again, there's some of the things that we've already talked about. If a man is blamed, verse 6, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. Again, we talked about this. Yes, last week we talked about the children, the idea of children, the husband of one wife, and that he had to have a good home, had to have a good household that was going on. verse 7, for a bishop, okay, now let's stop right there. The other words are translated as overseer. And as we talked, if we talked about when we first started looking at Timothy, the word bishop and overseer is an accurate translation. Overseer is used much more often than the word bishop, but when we look at them together, bishop is one of the names for elders, like overseer, elder, shepherd. You know, as we look at these different names for elders. And so that's what a bishop must be, blameless, like it says, or in the New American Standard, the overseer must be above reproach, as God, as a steward of God. Okay, we got a new word here that we want to look at. So all they have to do is find out where I put it. I think it's actually on the new sheet that I gave you. Steward of God. Titus, faithful children, blameless, above reproach. Okay, towards the bottom. Steward is a house distributor or overseer, an employee in the capacity, by extension, a physical agent, figuratively, a preacher of the gospel. I didn't see the word of the idea of the preacher in there, but that would be okay. In other words, someone that watches over and takes care of. I think we know what a steward is. A steward of, if you're a steward of caretaker for someone, maybe they're gone and you're watching over their home, or someone has passed away and you're the steward of that home, then you're taking care of that home. Well, the steward, we're told here that that the elder must be a steward of God. Not a steward of us, of man, but a steward of God. One that stands up and stands for God in what he does.
Jesus gave a parable in Luke 16 about a steward.
Yes, he did.
An unjust steward.
Unjust steward.
And it was someone that had some authority over his master's belongings.
Right.
You know, someone that is in charge of something that belongs to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's kind of the principle here, I think.
I think you're right, yeah.
Steward.
Except we got a good steward here.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's good and bad stewards all over the place. I'm
That's sure. I'm sure that's true.
Yeah.
Not self-willed, and all the translations say the same thing. The idea of being self-willed. It's on the page, on the new page again. Also, self-pleasing, arrogant. You know, so I think we understand that self-willed. That he's prideful. Not being prideful in what he does. Again, we've looked at some of these things as well. Not quick-tempered, in other words, or the New American, the NIV says not, well, it says not quick-tempered also. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered. And then we touched on the idea before about given to wine, so we're not going to deal with that. Not violent, you wouldn't want a violent man in charge of the congregation, right? You wouldn't want someone that's going to be violent and get angry, not lose his temper, not greedy for money, not fond of sordid gain, or pursuing dishonest gain, as in NIV says. So, in other words, not a lover of money. Timothy talks about this also, that, you know, to be a lover of money. We think that Not having the love of money, right? But having the love of God. That money is not what controls us. Any thoughts down through verse 7? I've been kind of going kind of quick here, but if you want to have any comments here. Okay, verse 8. But hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Hospitable, someone that is hospitable. We see this in all three translations. Showing hospitality, right? Mm-hmm. That is willing to, and not willing to have people into your home, willing to care for people, willing to show them the way. And of course, as Rob has talked about, hospitality is one of the ways that we help to reach people. And so it would be important, of course, that the elders would show the way with that. A lover of what is good, that makes sense, right? You love what is good, you hate what is evil. I think as we love what is good, and we're running out of time. I keep forgetting about that clock back there. I need to change it. Where is the clock that was there? Anybody know?
I think it's downstairs.
In that room?
Yeah.
Where, Don?
It's on the wall in the basement that's facing me.
Oh, it's in the wall in the basement?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's just do this. Okay, what I want for us to do next week is to pick up in verse 8 and read down through the rest of the next couple sections in Titus, because it goes in and talks more about that. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and read about the verse 5 verses there. And 1 Peter chapter 5, the first 5 verses. And then if you want also, you can possibly go to Acts in probably verse 20, chapter 20, where Paul gives specific instructions to the elders of the church there and what they should do. That's, again, Acts chapter 20, the rest of chapter 1, basically, in Titus, and also, what did I say? Titus, Peter, 1 Peter 5, and Acts 20. Okay? I'm sorry for the different handouts. I could have put more things on some of these sheets, but I did for the class, and then it would be hard to go back and type on that again to refill it, put this through, so that's why you have more sheets. As we think about what God has done for us through the Holy Spirit, through giving us the Word so that we know what He wants us to do, and it is our striving to be what God wants and do it what He wants and to do it in the right way and not seek after our own will but after the will of God. And I think over the years, just like it happened in the first century, that things began to add things and do things that they seemed as right. That's what happened with the fathers. The fathers of old that added and became the Talmud, that I've talked about before, how the Talmud, which was the ideas of the fathers, became much greater than bigger than what the Old Testament was within itself. We have to be careful that we don't take an idea and say, well, that's what it says, that's what's there, but carefully look at what the Bible says and do the best that we can to follow what it says for us as we strive to walk and live right with God. As we're looking to live right with God, if you're struggling with that or you need help with that, there's always prayers. And there's no shame in asking for prayers for help. Speaking of prayers, two people I talked about in Ukraine, Lila, that had the eye problem. I talked to her today. And she can't see out of her left eye. It's not her heart. They decided that it wasn't a heart problem with her. And I said, what are you doing? Her English is kind of broken. She says medicine. She's taking medicine for it. I don't know how that can help her eye. She's big smile on her face, dealing with it quite well. And so I think, and Daniel, I think I mentioned to you that he had, when he was taken back out of the army because of stomach problems, they thought it might be something in his stomach, and they ruled out some things, but his parents and his grandparents and someone else in his family all died of stomach cancer. And so they're very concerned that what's bothering him in his stomach might have something to do with cancer. I don't know. So let's remember that. I want to mention something else, that we're going to start on Sunday. One of the things that as we talked about, praying over the people that we are putting on our list. Well, we're not going to get specific names on Sunday, but we're going to start something called evangelistic praying. And so, and I'll talk more about that Sunday morning. But I want you to know that the people you're putting on your list generally are going to be prayed for as you pray for them specifically. If anyone does not have a card to put your, you know, put the people on that you want to pray for and add to this for our reaching out to people, there are still some prayer contact list list people for you so that you can help reach them too. Won't you come to Christ now if you need to, with prayers and any need? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, his disciple ever be. Render not to any other what alone the Lord should be. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live. Live for Jesus, wandering sinner, under Satan's serve no more. Of the promised prize a winner, thou mayst be when life is o'er. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live. Live for Jesus in last morning at the noontide hour he is, and at eve when day is turning, and in inherit endless bliss. Live for Jesus, live for Jesus, give him all thou hast to give. On the cross the world's Redeemer gave his life that thou mightst live.
In a moment we're going to be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep encouraging them. We have our minister evaluation forms, and I said on Sunday that we weren't going to take any after Sunday. Well, that might not be true, because if the weatherman's right, I'm not sure we'll be here on Sunday. But whether we are or we're not, let's keep one another in mind, right?
What's the determination about snow?
I mean, I think it's a case, but you're saying for our determination on whether we will assemble, we've not been completely consistent with that, Doug.
Okay, I just wanted to know maybe.
Yeah, I think if we determine as the men typically that it's safe to get out and we oftentimes have met or canceled one or the other, but. Regardless of the situation, if you don't feel it's safe for you to get out, please do not, whether the church assembles or not, you can tune into the broadcast. We want everybody to be safe, and especially people that are not as good on their feet as others. Keep that in mind. It's possibly going to be bad. And be mindful of one another as well, right? I mean, reach out and offer help where to the extent that you're capable of doing that.
Even if it don't snow, it's going to be brutally cold.
It is. Yes. Is there anything further that we need to make mention of? The cards, as Doug mentioned, have those names filling out those cards, and we need to start praying on those. I think that's our first order of business to for our next step is to
pray for those people you have on your card every day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, if there's nothing further, let's go to God in prayer.
I have a couple things I want to mention. Brent was not feeling well yesterday.
Both the boys are running a fever this evening, so keep them in your prayers. And most of you know I had a test done on Monday. It come back excellent, as far as I'm concerned. And I'm here tonight, which means it's also excellent. But if you want any details, you'll have to ask me afterwards. So,
we don't want to.
Well, I'm talking about not. I'm not going to draw you a picture, if that's what you're thinking. But anyway, the procedure went excellent. You just can't imagine it was going that well. Doug?
I am going to have a biopsy on Monday. Appreciate
it. So keep Doug in our prayers, too. Let's all pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful that you are our God, that you are also a caring God, that you care about us, that you want the best for us as we go through life. And we know that because of the written word you have left us to study and to grow. Not only that, the love that's in the scriptures that for one another to show how Christians should act toward one another and the world. We're just a different people because of you caring for us and for Christ going to the cross just for us. We're just deep thankful for that. We also want to pray for all the individuals that are on our prayer list, all the ones that have special needs. We know that there are several on there that just would like to have your attention so they can get better, to be able to get out of their houses again. And whatever you can do for them, we just want to continue to pray for them. And we also have other individuals that we know all across the states and all across the world that need also your loving hand. And we pray that you continue to help them and guide them and keep them on the straight and narrow path. As we're about to leave this evening, Father, please go with us to our places of stay. And this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Leanne McDaniels sent out a thing. If you didn't get it, her father did pass away. And he, has the service already been done?
They're not going to do this service.
Okay, because I didn't get it all read, but I didn't see anything in there about that. But Leanne McDaniels' father did pass away. And he was the one that was in the hospital that over at El Dorado for, gosh, I think well over a month, maybe over 6 weeks. And let's keep the family in our prayers on her also.
Thank you. You weren't able to do it.